How do I say goodbye?
You know what that means, Howard.
Oh, no. What does it mean?
We've lost one of our shining black diamonds.
Oh, okay.
That's what that song means.
Okay. Is this like a new funeral march?
You've been on the show a bit. If we lose any promising young, old, whatever person of color, they get the boys to men.
See, I understand for this one because around the time the song came out, he was famous.
Yes.
He was at the height of his infamy.
He with a capital H, much like one talks about God or Christ on the cross.
R.I.P. Marion Barry.
It's a dark day in your nation's capital. Goodbye,
it's a dark
buddy.
Week. Honestly, like, it is pretty sad because he always does a Thanksgiving turkey giveaway.
Really?
It's something recently.
Like Frank Lucas?
Yeah, so people in D.C. were complaining, like other politicians a couple years ago were like, where does he get the money to give poor people turkeys on Thanksgiving? And he defiantly responded, that's a complaint that only white liberals would make. And so, like, he didn't explain where the money came from. And he's just like, really? You're going to get on me? You're going to get on me for giving broke people turkeys on Thanksgiving. Does it really matter where this money came from? So that was maybe 2 years ago, man.
Such an old race baiter.
I really hope.
You're saying that because you're white. Yes, but what about the question? Shut up, whitey!
I just hope they keep that program growing this year. Just one more time in his memory, so.
Oh, God. Oh, God bless him. Yeah, yeah. Death of Marion Barry. Passed away, I believe, Friday, right?
Yeah, I mean, nationally, I guess people have a different take than us, right? Since, you know.
That is the hopefully the point of the segment. Let's bring back the actual starting music. Let's kick it in. Nope. Oh, boys to men, I have to send you packing. As hard, it's so hard to say goodbye to them as well. Okay, let's actually give it a normal one, because there we are. There we are.
Now they know what they're listening to.
Yeah, now my brain's together. I'm like a dog too. You know, I'm like a pet that's conditioned. I have to hear the music to know what's up. Much like my cats, and my mom gives them what's called fancy food, their wet food. Let's bring this back down a little.
Whatever, man. These are only things that white liberals will care about.
Every night at 7 p.m., my mom says, "What time is it?" And the cats immediately just both in unison, like, meow, 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 and lose their mind. And then she says, "It's fancy food time. It's fancy food time." Sings it to the tune of "You Are My Sunshine." And the entire song, they're losing their effing minds because they know via a song that it's fancy food time. Well, thanks to Gray Sky Eternal's beautiful creation, I know it's Papa's basement time. Until you play that, I was just like, wait, why am I talking to a microphone? What's going on? What's my name? Who am I? Where am I? And then that comes on. I'm like, oh, yes, I am John Papa Giorgio. This is Papa's basement. All right, folks, the show is finally officially beginning. Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've done. And if you do the podcast subscription thing, and we hope you do, we're trying to cultivate the hardcore podcast listener, not just people that knew me in high school and give the show a play out of some sort of misplaced guilt.
Hey, you're rebuilding the website soon, too, right?
Like, that's I'm throwing my buddy completely under the bus, Zach, on that one. Zach was going to redo the site and then bought a house. So I'm not saying the man doesn't have priorities in life.
Yeah, no offense, man. I would put my house before building your website.
Yeah, it's just like we had been hanging out every weekend. We kind of had like this this nerds football club, if you will. It's me, my buddy Rich, my buddy Kenny. We're all like mildly autistic, if you will. And we got together and drank and ate crappy food and watched football. And like I've texted Zach every weekend to be like, Rich is 1 p.m. And just the last 3 weeks, I simply haven't heard back.
Okay.
Maybe this will get some sort of reaction out of young Zachariah.
I'll say this, knowing what you pay me for the show, I don't blame him for, taking his sweet time.
No, don't get me wrong. I was like, do you want some money? Do you want hundreds of dollars for what you're doing? And he said no, and my cheap side went swish when I heard that, but my pragmatic side, I guess, I was like, this isn't going to end well, is it? There's no investment from him on this.
Yeah, no, at his leisure.
Yeah.
Leisure. So,
until then, until the site is done, and it's no longer a GeoCities 1998 eyesore, subscribe to us using the podcast app on any of your iDevices, or whatever the hell you godless Android users use to also do podcast subscriptions. And you can use Stitcher.
Stitcher,
well.
I think that's the better place to send the Android user.
Yeah, Stitcher cuts across both platforms, and you can get the Papa's Football Podcast and Papa's Basement. Don't forget the apostrophe. All right, I'm John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. You are Howard Flood.
I am going to fix my Twitter handle soon, I promise.
Yay. All right. Let's actually do the show. That damn song threw me off. It threw me off so hard.
Now Boys to Men really just
put you in a different place. We never need to start with anything but the song that we always use.
Unless you did a different song every week. That's the only other way to do it.
That's madness.
Work. That's work. That's prep. Oh, my gosh.
No, even if we just pulled one out of our asses, trust me, it would trip you up really hard, really fast.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off talking about Mary and Barry because the dude crapped out, what, Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, it was over the weekend.
It was over the weekend. Sadly, the weekend ended with a huge catch out of Odell Beckham Jr. So by Sunday night, Mary and Barry's passing was completely forgotten. And he had maybe like 12 to 24 hours in the Twittersphere sunshine.
Yeah, yeah.
And for those that don't really know the story of Mary and Barry, when Howard and I were growing up, a man came to power as D.C.'s mayor, called the mayor for life a lot of times. He came to power as D.C.'s mayor, I want to say 85, 86, something like that. And you don't want to say he ran the city into the ground?
It was pretty bad when he got in, man.
I mean, the city was a bit of a toilet, but his solution to fixing the economy was simply giving everyone a government job.
Yeah, that was one of his big ones.
He kind of made the city a Republican's nightmare. Black guy running it, government jobs amok.
I mean, he's definitely created an entrenched, he's hamstrung the DC government because so many people who were hired in the 80s still work for DC government, and they run the show now. I have a friend who was working for DC government recently. She got out so quickly because the second she got her job, she realized, like, I have to pay homage to people that Barry brought on. And so I cannot do my job, no matter how well I do it. I have to do things to placate these individuals in order to stay happy. My actual work production doesn't matter. It's how I make that person look and how I make them feel. Like, I have to make them feel like they are awesome in addition to making them look good. And so she was out.
And given what we've learned about Mary and Barry during his tenure and the years that came after, let's not kid ourselves. Probably some of these appointments were for less than perfect reasons. I'm sure, like, maybe a dealer's son got a gig. Like, you know, they're just smoking rock together. And it's like, man, I don't want my kid having this life. And Mary and Barry just puts a big bear arm around his shoulders. Like, I got you, dog. I got you.
Hey, listen, he was trying to alleviate poverty, so I feel him on the extent to which he was successful doing that. I mean, some of his means were unconventional, but he really has always, his biggest legacy will always be his commitment to trying to end poverty in the district. So I have a lot of gratitude to him for that, even though, yeah, some of the things he did, not so good. Some of it was very self-interested. For example, his wife. I remember there's a scandal, I think, when Mayor Williams was in power, where someone did an audit and found that Mary and Barry's wife, I believe it was Mary and Barry's wife, was on faculty at UDC and hadn't taught a class in over a decade. And she was making like 90 G's a year for a non-existent professorship.
He really was a crack-addicted black Tony Soprano. But I guess his story maybe wasn't as huge at large. Like I said, outside of DC, I bet he was most known in like white Republican enclaves. Like Oklahoma probably knew Mary and Barry. It was like, this is, you see, kids, this is why we don't elect them.
No, I think for a lot of people outside of DC, they'd be surprised to find out that he was still on city council. I mean, he stayed. After he was mayor, you know, after the whole bitch set me up scandal. He ended up back on city council, and you want to know why? Because he cared about the residents of the city, probably more than anybody else who was on city council. I mean, he really went out of his way to help people that really couldn't help his campaign.
Yeah.
But he's marrying Barry. Like, that's all the advertising and street cred he needed to get elected so he could represent poor people.
And that's really what I want to impress upon people. I just don't know if this existed in a lot of other cities. It was like near the end of 89, the FBI knew that he had like a ton of people just in his entourage who were dealing in coke. And they're like, there's no way this doesn't go all the way to him, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. And eventually, a former girlfriend of his, and as you so conveniently pointed out, the man was married. So he just had a girlfriend, too. She sets him up, the bitch, if you will. The bitch set him up by getting him to a hotel to bang her. And before that, she's like, hey, you just want to smoke some freebase rock with me? Yeah. And the FBI's in the next room with a camera. I'm doing the little hand crank camera movie, or you know, that motion in front of Howard. Like I have to explain what a camera is to the man. And the FBI, one room over, records the mayor of the nation's capital, smoking rock before then getting on top of this chick who isn't his wife.
Was that one of your earliest memories of him?
That was my first memory.
That's my first memory of him, too, because we were, like, probably six when that happened.
We're
right?
Nine.
Six, okay.
Nine-ish. And, I mean, that's right when I started forming lasting memories.
Yeah.
Because I met you at, like, I don't know, 10.
10, 11. Yeah, so it was right before we met.
Like. Yeah. So my first memory, really, of hearing about a politician, period. Like, you didn't hear a ton about Reagan right then. I guess Bush was just kicking in. This predated, though, the whole first invasion of Iraq. Like, that's when I first started learning about policy and, like, things going on above me.
Right.
So, on the national stage, but one of my first political memories... Don't click that pen into the mic, sir.
Sorry.
It's all good. One of my first political memories, period, is, like, Marion Barry getting busted for smoking rock. And, like, okay. As a little kid, I didn't know any better. I just thought, like, all politicians smoked crack. Like, that was just something you did as a big fancy man.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, why is it a big deal that he smokes crack? Like, you know, he's hit that point. Like, I thought he was in trouble for cheating on his wife.
I mean, I knew
how naive I was.
I was keeping up with presidents at that point, but it was because when I was 4,
mm-hmm.
My dad was in the Navy. I actually had the chance to meet Bush Sr. I got to meet Herbert Walker Bush when I was 4.
He was CIA at that point, right? Was that his thing or no?
No, he was vice president for Reagan. Yeah. So, I followed the presidency. I was a weird kid, so I did a book report about like a biography on Nixon in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was really like, I just thought the American presidency was like this interesting thing, and the fact that Nixon got the boot was just fascinating to me. So that kind of lined up nicely with reading about Nixon and the scandal in the district with Marion Barry. You know, it's one of those things where
you just thought everyone went down for something after a while.
I just figured that like meant his career was over. And so it was just shocking to see.
So did everyone else, Howard.
I mean, the only person who's come back faster from that kind of arrest is R. Kelly. Like, R. Kelly, like, it was as if nothing had happened to him.
Absolutely.
Marion Barry was gone for a little bit, but then he was back on counsel. I mean, he's no longer mayor. He couldn't be mayor again. And yet his influence on city politics will continue after today because he was such an important figure. Not just... For the time that he was on city council, he had a major impact. But now that he's gone, he's still going to continue to have a major impact on this city.
Well, just the way he handled it, like, was so street. Even in the moment.
Yeah.
What do they say? What does he say? His famous line when he's getting arrested, he simply keeps repeating, bitch set me up. I shouldn't have come up here. Goddamn bitch. That's it. As they're throwing the bracelets on him. So he's hit with 3 felonies for perjury. 10 counts of drug possession, and a conspiracy to possess coke. And the trial ends about a year later. Guess what? They had a couple white guys on the jury, mostly black. 5 of the black jurors, out of all the charges, I think all that sticks is the misdemeanor. I could be wrong on this. The rest, get this. 6 or 7 jurors, of whom 2 were white and the rest black, believed that the evidence against Barry was overpowering and that he had displayed arrogance during the trial. Okay, so again, the two honkies, the outsiders,
yeah,
and several of the black jurors, they kind of called it like they saw it. Weighing against this, 5 black jurors were convinced that the prosecution had falsified evidence and testimony
That's
as part
so good.
Of a racist conspiracy against Barry, and even disputed factual findings that had not been contested in court. After scolding the jurors for not following instructions, the judge declared a mistrial on the remaining charges. That's it. That if you want to know what this city is, and really if you want to know one of the only true differences between black people and white people, black people love to forgive and they don't want to tear their heroes in the community down.
Well, everybody in the black community knows someone that went to prison who's a family member, and it's just like, oh, he was so nice.
Exactly.
Like every July 4th. You know what I mean? Like, that was the dude who brought...
He made the best ribs, and now we don't have those ribs. F that.
He had the perfect recipe for Hawaiian punch. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Hawaiian punch recipe. He had the can opener. He had the can. Damn.
No, you got to get the proportion right if you're using the dry stuff, right?
I guess you're right. Yeah. He put in the extra sugar. That was the secret.
So, yeah, man, I'm just like... No, like, I used to work in legal aid in inner city community in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, like in Southern Virginia. So I remember this, like, just talking to people on the street and, like, who come in. Like, everybody would ask me when they came into my office that, you know, just basic stuff, civil stuff. They need a will. You know, they got a landlord-tenant dispute. So, like, more than half of people would ask me, hey, I got this cousin or uncle or whoever in prison. Like, what do you think his chances are of getting another appeal? You know, they just, because they love their family. It's just like, this is ridiculous. This is what they did. This is the 25-year sentence they got for what was a college prank.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow, we kind of do prosecute black people disproportionately in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, because it's not just, like, the charges, but, like, the nature of the charge. So... I understand.
Well, Christ, just the fact that they categorize, like, crack and cocaine separately.
But that was the height of it. Like, Barry was the mayor at a time when the war on drugs was at its height.
Yeah.
And it was just so wrong what they did. And the government still has not been entirely apologetic about sentencing disparities. They've done some things to make it better, but the reality is, like, Marion Barry, in a way, is almost the iconic figure from that period to let the rest of us know what hypocrisy was behind the war on drugs in the 80s, as far as going after black criminals for a crack as opposed to cocaine for the white ones. And, you know, just the sentencing disparities were ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, he's always going to be, I think, tied to that, like, fight with Nancy Reagan.
Dude, that was, I'm not joking, one of my first lessons in the fact that, like, when it comes to a lot of things, black people are way, way chiller. I mean, to the point of ridiculousness. Sometimes, don't get me wrong,
right?
But I was like, wait a minute, this dude, they wouldn't find him guilty for smoking crack, and he's the mayor like two
yeah.
years later.
Yeah.
At the same time, holy God, the mayor is smoking crack.
Right?
It was a lot to take in as a kid, and I simply, like I said, I thought that was par for the course. And I'm like, okay, so when are we going to bust the next mayor for smoking crack? And it took me several years to put together, like, oh, wait, that probably will never happen. Like, the whole Rob Ford thing, that's been, what, 25 years since Barry? That's how long it took. And we had to go across the border.
Yeah, I actually lived in Toronto at the time that Rob Ford was elected. That was a really interesting period. Just because I think the comparisons between the two are unfair. As far as maybe, like, the behavior is similar, but the reality is Toronto's a way nicer place than the district.
Yeah, that, and crack isn't everywhere anymore. You have to actively seek out crack. This is D.C. in the mid-80s. That was like Detroit in RoboCop.
Right.
Like, yeah. Drugs were everywhere. Clarence Boddicker was just
actually
putting it on the streets.
And Mayor Barry's other famous quote was in the late 80s when D.C. was the murder capital.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was quoted as saying, quote, outside of the killings, the crime rate is pretty low, unquote.
Bless him.
So, I mean, it was a bad place. This was a bad place in the 80s.
Yeah. And God, what was another story? If I recall correctly, Don Geronimo tells a story about it was either a dude who worked with him or like a friend, something like that. He's driving out of a graveyard shift, an overnight shift at a station, and a car coming out of the parking lot of, oh God, was it Archibald's, one of the strip clubs in the city?
Right.
Comes out about 5 a.m., hits his car, and out comes Mary and Barry, looks, doesn't see much damage, and then they just drive off. Like his whole entourage in the car.
I mean, actually, I used to work for an insurance company, and yeah. we used to get claims all the time from the district where it'd be like, oh, hey, man, don't worry about it. I'm going to go back to my car and, like, get my information. The person will drive off.
Just jet off.
And so then, like, you know, if that happens in Virginia, you call the police. They come out. They take the hit-and-run information and the license plate, and they're aggressive. They love going after people. I complain about Virginia being over-aggressive sometimes, but, you know, in that situation, I want them to go, like, find someone to arrest for hit-and-run.
Yeah.
D.C., nah, like, experience I had with it. They were just like, hey, listen, we have murders and rapes, so, like, we'll look into this in 6 months. I.e., we're not going to get to this.
Yeah.
By the like, the case is going to be so cold by the time we actually look into your hit and run, it's over with. So, yeah, like, I, for that reason, my experience is, as someone who just did traffic investigations for an insurance company, tell me not to ever live there. Still that way. That was like 2003 that happened. So, I still have a problem with the way that the city of Washington is run. This is why, like, for us, we grew up in Virginia. You know, we got friends who, like, your mom grew up in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so different to be in either of those places than in the city of Washington, D.C.
I still wouldn't touch it. To this day, it's like, I would love to live kind of on the outskirts of the city and be able to metro in and maybe pursue, to some extent, stand up, do an open mic once a week. That would be nice. The restaurants everywhere, that would be nice.
They are nice. Yeah, they got good restaurants now.
There is now a camera on every block to bust you for something. The city is still a broke toilet, and yet it has a budget surplus of like several hundred million, I think, every year because these cameras are just that omnipresent.
Yeah, they're pretty aggressive on ticketing.
George Orwell would look around and be like, dude, take it down a couple notches. I mean, they're speed cameras. Then those weren't enough. Then yeah. you got these stop sign cameras that, like, pop you for just doing the rolling stop or the California stop.
Yeah.
It's nuts. They have, God, what the hell else? Oh, cameras that bust you for going into a crosswalk, even though half the time you're just in dead, you know, stop and go traffic, and you try to get as far ahead as you can, and then the guy in front of you just takes off, and then you're just stuck in that crosswalk, and then you just see a light go off, and you're like, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
It's a hellhole. It really is, man.
I mean, there's good things to say about it. In defense of the people who live in the district, I will say this. I got a lot of friends who live there, have a lot of fun going to hang out with them. I understand why they want to live there, but the biggest vulnerability they have, and this is why it's always been terrible there, because it's the same story as, like, when it was the crime capital of the United States. I'm sorry, just the murder capital. The crime rate was pretty low outside of that. But
exactly.
In the 80s,
you heard the mayor.
When it was just such a hole, when it was just this terrible place, nobody ever, like, went other than, you know, you quickly go to the Smithsonian and get out. See the monuments and, like,
dude,
try not to stray too far in the southeast.
My dad was, like, regarded as a superhero by the neighborhood because he ran, well, he was a locksmith for other guys during the 80s. And this predates cell phones.
Yeah.
So he would just have a beeper and he would get beeped and then he would have to get into, you know, a payphone booth to call his dispatcher and be like, where is my next job? I saw you paged me. And he said, every morning he came into the phone booth, it was like crackling under his feet from all the spent syringes.
Oh, jeez.
And he worked at several banks in Southeast, which is the real crap hole in D.C. He was part of, he was present for several holdups at these banks. He said there was one bank that I used to go with him as a kid to
right.
as well, where about once a week they found there was just this certain dumpster behind it. Once a week they found a corpse in it.
Yeah. I mean,
the city was bad.
By the way, so people know, like, your dad was so badass. Like,
he was.
He, right? He grew up during World War II in Greece.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His, like, one of his first memories were the Germans paratrooping into Crete.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he wasn't a person who was intimidated by things in the same way that most Americans would be.
Oh, yeah. Like, are you kidding? You and me, we would... I remember I stepped on one syringe yeah. at a Ministry concert. Very different experience. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, my God, do I have AIDS now? Yeah. For a year. You know, yeah. one just cracks under my feet. He was... Yeah, he was so jaded. He used to, like I said, they would steal guns. They would send him, as a kid, the Greek resistance, to steal guns out of camps. Because mm-hmm. adults near any sort of German ammo depot or just shot on site. Right. But kids, they were like, oh, you starving little scamp. Here's some chocolate. Don't steal our guns. But they would do it.
But yeah, no, it's gotten dramatically better in the last 10 years. Like I was saying, so like obviously Roanoke, Virginia is a very different place from D.C., but when I was living in the inner city there, I just remember the cable guy came to install stuff. He was this redneck dude, and he was just telling me, you know, a lot of people who live in this area would think it's crazy you live here. And he was like, doing cable installations here, I'll let you know. 10 years ago, you would have been an idiot to be here, but it's fine now. And I think that's kind of where D.C.'s gone in the last 10 years, where, I mean, it was bad for a long time, but out of nowhere, it really seems with all the people who've moved here, like, D.C.'s kind of nice now, man.
Well, they tried to revitalize one area northwest right next to the White House, and they managed to do that. And then they did it again with the Verizon Center or whatever the F they're calling it this week.
Yeah, now the H Street corridor is starting to pick up a little bit. I mean, yeah.
But when we were kids, dude, the city was still gutted from... This will blow people's minds. It killed me. Up until the mid-90s, even the late 90s, a lot of places were still torn down from, like, the riots when King was assassinated.
Yeah. Now, check
that was,
out...
what, 67, 68, I think?
Y'all need to check out the Sonic Highways episode for DC. Like, it's worth watching. Like, Sonic Highways in general, I'm really liking this Dave Grohl show on HBO. Mm-hmm. But
for
the
some
DC
reason,
episode,
I don't watch it, but I'm sure it's great.
The DC episode does really bring this, like, into a full light. Because for those who don't know, Dave Grohl grew up in Annandale, Virginia. He grew up like you, like John and I. So
yeah,
like that's the thing. Like
roughly 10 miles outside the city.
He too has this memory, and he's basically spends a whole episode just trying to figure out how DC got to be the way it was when he was growing up in the 80s. He's a little older than you and I. So, but the area around the Black Cat, which is Foo Fighters actually played a show at the Black Cat recently.
Okay.
It's in Columbia Heights. Well, that's technically U Street, but it's close to Columbia Heights. And just if you talk to people about Columbia Heights even 5 years ago, it was not really a place you wanted to be at night. And it's still a little bit dodgy at night if you go off the main, like, 14th Street.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that's hipster central now. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Ever since they got a Target, it's just like, boom, white people showed up.
We do love our Target.
Yeah. They just, like, ride there on their rent-a-bikes.
Ugh.
Yeah, they're everywhere in D.C. now. They're just like, hey, there's a Target in Columbia Heights.
I would shoot anyone on one of those general principle. Get out of my city.
But yeah, man, no, it's still bad to live there. At the end of the day, I think the biggest problem D.C. has is, like, everybody in Northern Virginia and, like, the surrounding Maryland suburbs all have representatives in Congress, and they don't. So when it comes to transportation funding and all other sorts of things that affect D.C., good luck to them, because we got four senators to their none.
No, dude, all these years later, D.C., even though it's safe, it still seems like just this big tax and spend ass F.
Yeah, I mean, like, city council's crazy. A few years ago, they upped minimum wage, right, for large stores like Walmart. They basically make it so that it's just attractive for all these major corporations to set up shop in Arlington, in Montgomery County. I mean, they think they're doing stuff to, like, really follow national trends, but they're just so weak economically because of the position that the suburbs are in. So,
oh, there's another reason they're weak economically. Their customer service blows. Shall we get to this story? This is the story of my week. The story of Sundevich. Sundevich? How do we pronounce it?
I don't know. Let's go with, what, Sundevich?
Sundevich.
No?
Sundevich. I don't know. All right, so getting out of the studio last week, we always record Monday afternoons. At least we have for a long time. And I love it. It's a great little habit we have going. So I check out about 3, 4 p.m. And I had to do some work in D.C., speaking of entering the Mall of the Beast. And I had done a little research during the show, because this is my equivalent of looking at porn that I can do in the studio. They would frown upon actual, you know, hardcore pornography being gazed upon, but I can food porn my brains out.
Right.
So to make the going into D.C. palatable, I was like, hey, I'm going to look up D.C. cheap eats. And after going through maybe like 8 things of like tofu soups and crap like that, which I didn't want them. Like, I don't know if this is dumb, but I still believe like tofu gives you tits. I'll eat it. Don't get me wrong. I still eat it. But I'm like, God, if I can help it.
This is coming from someone who has been a vegetarian at times in his life, right?
So, several times, yeah. Even right now, I'm really trying not to eat much more than chicken if I go the meat route.
Okay.
So down the list, I get to Sundevich or Sundevich. And here's the description of this place, which I don't know about you. Reading this, I was like, sold. Take my money now, sir.
Okay.
The sandwich annex to the boutique market and supper club seasonal pantry, Sundevich is one of DC's most interesting sandwich shops. The hook is each sandwich is inspired by the cuisine of a different country. Representatives are from cities like Athens, Cairo, Istanbul, and Seoul, many of which are $10 or less. The standout is the Jamaican-inspired Kingston.
I'm sorry. This sounds like hipster Epcot Center to me.
I know. It is as hipster as it gets, but I'm like, God help me, they make a mean sandwich for $10. Right. The hit is the Jamaican-inspired Kingston, which has jerk chicken, pineapple salsa, spicy slaw, and garlic mayo between a crisp and bready baguette. I want you to focus on that part. Crisp and bready baguette. Back and to the left. The allspice and habanero spice rub lays down a slow, subtle burn, while the pineapple salsa provides the sweetness to balance it out. I don't need all the details.
I actually like those details. I appreciate that description.
They just need to say, we are not the crap that Subway is. And I would go, here's 7, 10, whatever it is. Do you have a layer of meat in you that exceeds an eighth of an inch? By God, you are my sub shop now.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to do a lot to pry me away from Quiznos. I've never eaten there, so.
Ugh,
I like come on, compared to Subway.
Okay.
Compared to Subway. Like, you walk into the Oscar Mayer section of the grocery store and you can make a Subway sandwich.
Yeah, but what you said is like, hey, you know what? If I have to take a dude's dick in my mouth, I'd prefer that to a dude's dick in my ass. And I would say, why are we presupposing that a man has to enter us in any way whatsoever?
That's fair.
And you just have a light bulb going off like, you are right.
Yeah, you are right.
You have cut the Gordian knot, sir. So I read this and I'm like, God, I'm going to be doing hours of manual labor, continuing the Papa Giorgio locksmith tradition. Weirdly enough, at a hotel that I worked at with my dad when I was like 10. So it really is just, I've done this job 23 years at this point. You know how I'm going to spice this up? We're going to Sundevich. Now, I hit there, like I said, 4:30, 4:45. It's a half mile from my job site. That was about 20 minutes of extra travel, just given the traffic at the time in the city. I have to take a massive piss, so I'm pumped for that, too. I'm like, wait a minute. I get to eat and not get a kidney stone. Two birds right there.
Yeah.
And I pull up. They're somehow right on the block that has Sundevich, an open space where they're not giving you $200 tickets for being parked after 4 p.m. Another part of D.C.'s tax and spend thing that I like to talk about. Most streets in the city between 4 and 6:30, you will get hit for, I want to say, easily $200 for being parked there, and they'll try to tow you immediately.
Yeah.
So somehow these meters do not require you to move, and I'm like, my God. Everything's coming up Millhouse so far. I shove like a couple bucks of quarters into the meter so I can take a good long piss, really savor my jerk chicken sandwich. And I finally find Sundevich. It's actually located, weirdly enough, in an alley. Like, its storefront faces into an alley. Huh. Not a particularly sketchy one. I didn't have to like walk past slumped over figures. I'm not Kyle Reese at the beginning of Terminator 1. Where I'm stealing a hobo's pants. It was, as far as alleys go, top-notch alley.
Right.
Magnifique alley. So I walk up, and I see no action out front, and I'm like, whatever. I'm coming at a weird time. And then I get to the actual front of Sundevich, and there's a sign. And the sign says, sorry, guys, we are closed. Howard, do you have my actual tweeted picture of that open or no?
Oh, I don't have your tweet.
Okay. The sign is to the effect of, guys, we are closed. We ran out of bread for the day. Now, Sundevich is supposed to be open until 9 p.m. I didn't exactly check that. I checked it later because I didn't want to think that I was losing my goddamn mind. I'm there at 4:45. They've run out of bread over 4 hours before closing time. The combination of having to take a piss, being what my girlfriend calls hangry. Do you get hangry?
Oh, I get mad hangry, yeah.
Okay. I was effing the Hulk of hanger right okay. there. Like, I was losing my mind. So just like any other asshole with a smartphone and, you know, 100 Twitter followers, I get on and I start laying into Sundavich. And the tweets go as follows. I start with, how could Sundavich know they would need so much bread? I mean, and then I get into the caps. That's how I online scream. They're only an effing sandwich shop with the effing spelled out. And then the caps are liberally used in the next line. It isn't like their every order is placed upon bread. Thanks, Sundavich. I'm now out the money I shoved in the meter to eat at your place. And then tweet number three. Plus, I really had to piss. At least you're located in an alley, so I can take care of that need with relative ease. For the listeners, I did not piss in the alley like a savage, but only because it was still too well lit. Had it been 7 p.m. or so, oh yeah, I would have gone right on the door and filmed it. It would have been the bell of the Instagram video ball.
Oh, man.
So Roberto's a friend, a follower. Roberto Samayoya. I don't know how you say his last name. He tweets
quite
me all the
friend,
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shut it. S-A-M-A-Y-O-A. Samayoya. Samayoa.
What's his Twitter handle? You got it?
Yeah.
Pimp it out, man.
He
Give us some followers.
Is,
I just
yeah.
followed him.
Follow him. He's at R-C-S-A-M-A-Y-O-A. So, I don't know. Pronounce it how you want. When you got a weird name like that, trust me, Mr. Poopa Giorgio, Papa Giorgio, however you pronounce mine, it happens. Carry your cross in life. So he starts tweeting me about it, and he's kind of laughing about the situation. And then Sundavich, hours after the fact, gets in on the fun. Now, I run a business, Howard, and not just like in a dumb, abstract, my podcast is my business way. No, I do something with my life that actually makes money. I'm a locksmith. When I have customers, and it happens sometimes, and it's maddening, by the way, when you're going out on one call into D.C. and then out in bum-F Virginia, completely the opposite direction, you get someone who's locked out.
Right.
And I'm like, well, God help me. I wish I were Michael Keaton, circa Multiplicity, but I cannot help you, and I apologize for that. Like, and I'm frank with him. I'm like, look, I'll even chop a few bucks off, but you're not getting my ass for like 2 hours. And most of the time, they're like, God, that sucks. And I'm like, you might want to call such and such instead. Again, I apologize. I am of the belief that when I'm in a business, I'm there to serve a customer. I make money by serving the customer well. Are you with me so far, Howard?
So far, I got you. Yeah, these are things that make sense to me.
If a customer were pissed with me and they said, well, you're a locksmith and you're not opening my door, I would say, yeah, that does suck. And I really apologize regarding that. And sometimes they're like, you really, you know, they're like, they convey some sort of wonderment. They're like, you really can't get me in. I'm like, nah, it's just me running this business and... You know, just me is about 80 miles from where you are right now.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry about that. And usually they understand and we go about our separate ways. So Sundavich doesn't really subscribe to my school of thought. And you were, when you said the whole hipster thing, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that Sundavich, they are of that hipster generation. About 8 years younger than us, 10 years, something like that.
They might be the same age, but, you know, snarkiness can go well up to the early 40s at this point.
Yeah. So they hit me up with, wow, exclamation point. Really? Stay classy. We did it all on purpose just to piss you off, exclamation point. Thanks for the love and understanding. Now, I'm not going to say I wanted them to herald me as the next Raoul Dahl for telling them, you know, F-bomb. Every other word, but it wouldn't have shocked me. And I'm not saying this like for a joke. It wouldn't have shocked me if they came back a couple hours later and they were like, dude, yeah, it really is kind of embarrassing that a sandwich shop runs out of bread. You know, your pizzeria doesn't run out of cheese all that often or dough or tomato sauce. They've thought it through and they figured out this goes into everything we make. We're going to carry a lot of it. I figured I'd get something to the effect of, hey, sorry about that. I wasn't expecting a coupon. Or an invite for a free sandwich, but at least, hey, sorry we dropped the ball on this. Instead, they go on the offensive, and I see red like crazy. Howard, you looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, no, I mean, you reminded me of, so I don't, it's been a while since I've worked in fast food, but I do remember from that experience what to look for in places where I eat.
The king of Taco Bell, I remember your days there.
Yeah, I was more of a burrito guy when in my heyday, but, you know, I still eat at places that serve sandwiches, and there's a place, I believe it's called Squisito's. I stopped there.
Is this a real thing, Squisito's?
I believe that's what it's called. Can you look that up for me? It's in Maryland. It's at Arundel Mills, basically.
How do I spell Squisito's?
It's like squid, but drop the D and then put S-I-T-O.
Probably Squisito's. I don't know.
Anyway, I've probably butchered the Italian name that it's...
Squisito.
All right.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one in Arundel Mills that whenever I go to Baltimore, I stop there. One time, I stopped there, ordered a slice of pizza, and they left it in too long, and I had to ask somebody for my pizza. When it came out, it was kind of burnt, and so when the guy handed it to me, I looked at it, and he saw my face, and he was like, you don't look happy. He's like, it's supposed to look that way, but tell you what, I'm going to give you another slice for free.
Bravo. And bravo. He realized that for the cost of 50 cents of effing dough, he had a customer for life.
And I keep stopping. I remember, like, actually getting the pizza back
and
thinking to myself.
And he was just a douche at the counter, right?
He's not probably this was the manager.
Was it a okay.
But I just remember, like, when he said that you're not going to be happy, I'm going to give you a slice no matter what. I was like, that's pretty cool, because in my mind, I was never going to come back here. And, like, he saw it in my face and instantly gave me a... And I'm saying, here's what you do if somebody complains in that way. It would have been so easy to say to you, hey, our bad, man. Next time you stop by, like, find XYZ manager. And, yeah, we'll give you a free drink. A free drink.
That would have been enough.
A free drink.
That would have been enough. Just don't have the empathy of a great white shark. That's all I ask when you're in a service industry.
Yeah.
I abhor the phrase, my bad. I would have been okay with it here.
I mean, no, like, I learned from Taco Bell, like, when they say the customer's always right. I mean, you know, they can eat elsewhere. That's the number one thing. Like, you don't have a monopoly on sandwiches.
And was I being a tremendous asshole? Yeah, but I was being an internet asshole. Yeah. Do you really think I would have made that scene in person? Like, I'm going for comedic effect, but I am mad. Just understand that. And instead, we have Susie Sensitive, or whoever the effing queer bot that answered the... Sorry about that. I shouldn't have assumed they're gay. They're just wimpy. I know plenty of manly gay men. I've watched my Queer as Folk. I've watched the guys in Falling Down who shove down the sunglasses when they leave that Nazi shop. They're manly gays. All right. So all I'm asking is a bit of empathy. And instead, I get, in essence, F you, man. Understand where we're coming from, man. And I wanted to be like, hey, buddy, I do. I'm a locksmith. You know what I've got in my trunk? Keys and lots of them. You're a sandwich shop. How about you goddamn keep some bread on hand? Did you run out of bread? Go over to the grocery store and buy some more effing bread. And give everyone a buck off their sandwich, because it isn't your delicious magic bread that you get once a day. And apparently 50 rolls of it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is like a ridiculously good sandwich for all we know.
You know what
kills me?
I bet it is. And now I can't have it, because they're still such dicks about it. So I start laying back into them, because Roberto comes back and he's like, oh, snap. A sandwich shop just owned your ass. And they did it in such a charming way. I hope he was being sarcastic about the charm.
Yeah.
And the owning me part. Yeah. Because really, you'd have to be one sensitive puss to think that was owning me and the point I made. So I come back and I say, all right. Well, first I lay in with, even the Russians had bread at the end of their bread lines. Apparently that's lost on Sundevich. And I also say, oh, silly me, Roberto. I thought a sandwich shop was in the business of selling me a sandwich. Right. Not for being loved and understood. What a dunce I am.
I mean, I'll say this in their defense, man. Like, they seem to be a startup business, right? They're probably in their first year.
They've already got a storefront. And let me see when exactly this... did I close this article? Going to the top of the Cheap Eats article to see when it was published to give you a... Okay, Cheap Eats came out in April. So
that's not a long time, man. I mean, in defense of this place, I'm going to compare it to one of your favorite restaurants in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Isabella's.
Oh, the best.
So I went in there when we were at Comic-Con a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
We were there on Friday. You weren't there yet.
And they didn't go, Mamma mia, we're out of Breda. No.
No, because like Comic-Con hadn't really started on Friday. It was just vendors at that point. I walk in wearing my badge from Comic-Con to Isabella's. And the manager, one of the owners, was there working. And he sees the badge and he's like, oh, is Comic-Con this weekend? And then he immediately responds to me after I say yes that, well, I better get some more people working here tomorrow. Those guys just find us on the internet and show up in droves.
Yeah, those big comic fatzos, and he's right.
But, why didn't he know that Comic-Con was coming? Why doesn't he have, like, a little calendar? They've been open for decades, right? Like, how does he not account for...
All
right,
that's all well and good, but in his defense, there's probably something every damn day at that convention center.
But he should keep track. And so this is what I'm saying.
What's going to have the fattest people there? He's like, when is the Magic tournament coming to town? We are double stocking the loaves for that.
I'm just saying with Sundovich, I looked at the Twitter battle y'all had, and it sounds like they just didn't account for a certain convention center event, which I'm feeling like they haven't figured out how to do that just yet. Simple answer, though, in your defense, like, it involves finding someone else who can sell you bread besides, like, the hipster bakery that you currently use for your morning loaf.
No, exactly. Just go out there, get bread that looks reasonably like it. I don't care that if it's not cool bread. Like, oh, here's my sandwich a la Safeway. Who gives a crap? Just throw the junk on some bread. Give me a goddamn hot dog roll with some of this jerk chicken on it. I wouldn't care. Call it like a mini bite. Make it sound sassy. I really wouldn't care. So just sarcastically, because this kind of wound up. By the way, the entire time, they're passive-aggressively retweeting my every tweet, lambasting them. Because I think my first one was like, oh, I cannot wait to go on air and mother F you guys. And they start retweeting that. And just everything I say for the next hour about them, they're retweeting. I'm like, this doesn't look good for you.
At least their last tweet, they told you to please call ahead before you come next time.
But that was a joke.
I think they're afraid now. I think they had a conversation internally of like, all right, how do we respond to angry people on the Twitters?
I love how they were retweeting to make me sound unreasonable. It's not like I was getting in their face for letting a Chinaman cut in front of me. You know, like, don't you know I'm Caucasian? No, I'm blasting a sandwich shop for not having bread.
I honestly, like, they're small enough that whoever started this with you probably didn't look at your number of followers and probably didn't realize, like, oh, he doesn't just, like, he's not some, like, voice in a box. Like, this actually gets to people.
Yeah, all 10 of you listening, 5 of you will betray me and go, God, this sandwich does sound good. You know what? I'm probably going to eat it this week, too. I'm just as weak as the rest of you. I kind of just want to walk in and be like, hey, I was that guy, and see if they spit in it right in front of me.
All right. I gotta give him some crap, though, just reading the website. I've never heard of this place till you mentioned it. And, I mean, I'm not big on this, this idea of supporting local agriculture.
I don't care, yeah.
I do care if I lived in Northern California. And, you know, honestly, if you're in New York City, they got some good agriculture in Northern Jersey, though, like, you know, it's not year-round. So that's the other thing, like, where are they getting it from around here? We have some good beef in, like, the surrounding areas of D.C., but... Come on, man. What kind of veggies are you putting onto a sandwich in this area? So, like,
yeah,
I know
that you got from the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, they say they do their best to support local business and agriculture. I'm just like,
you know what? I don't need it to be local. I just, you know, what is it, Fast Food Nation or whatever, where they explain your hamburger probably has 15 cows in it. I just don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, get me meat. I don't care if it came from Texas or whatever.
You'll be glad to know that Sundovich is planning to grow their own vegetables and herbs on a rooftop garden above the shop. So
nice.
That's where they're heading.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's what I goddamn care about.
There are people who care. Man, you don't hang out in D.C. enough.
That some Mary is tiptoeing back and forth planting his herbs.
Look, those people that you hate that are just riding their bikes up 14th to Columbia Heights, they will all ride those stupid bikes over to Sundovich to stand in line, and they will be surly and joyous.
The roof is 8 feet by 12 feet. They are going to grow enough herbs for the first 2 days of April. And then the rest of the year, they're going to just have a sign out front. Sundovich is closed. We're out of herbs. Waiting for them to come in. Oh, I almost dropped an F-bomb. Just dunces. just sitting there like, well, Columbus is coming from the Indies with his freshest wares. Until then, the store is closed. What? Walk across the street to Giant and just buy some oregano? Perish the thought. Oh. So a couple days later, I have to go back to the same site. And I tweet them and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be back in the city. Any chance you guys will actually have enough stuff to put together a sandwich? And their response is, the event that has been taking our bread ends tomorrow. So just to be safe, call us to make sure we have bread. And I read that, and for 10 minutes I stared at my screen. I'm like, is he like next level dicking with me?
No, I think they don't know how to run their business yet, man.
Yeah, I just realized, I'm like, no, this is reality. He's a sandwich shop telling me we still don't know if we're going to have enough bread for you by the middle of the day. So peace.
No, I think they're probably a place that insists they have like a certain level of quality that every product that leaves our store must reach.
Oh, my God.
And so that's the...
You know what? Mac, they make a lot of good laptops, and there's like 1,000 million of them. Learn from them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real question. Like, where are they going to get more bread? Because apparently the people they buy from aren't giving them enough. Yes, you're allowed to get bread from a second bakery.
Oh,
I'm sure there's someone else who makes a decent baguette.
Yeah, but the baguette wasn't born in the Potomac River. It didn't grow up in the D.C. school system. We can't use it. Oh, my God. They could be like, this loaf was made by Wolfgang Puck. And they'd be like, but where? Just, and what I hate is I just want to eat the goddamn sandwich still. Like, I just stare at it. It's like a woman that you kind of want to hate F. You know what I mean? Like, she treats you like crap, but you're like, oh, I'd still hit it in a heartbeat. That's what this is.
All right.
I don't want to support you, and yet I will. I'll give in to that visceral desire.
I'm curious. So they have a brat sandwich. I feel that's like, they probably just buy their brats over at the German store downtown. That's in, I guess, near Chinatown. What else is on this menu that I would eat?
The entire menu sounded delicious. There wasn't a sandwich on it that sounded like crap.
I mean, there's some that I don't know if I'd go there.
I don't know. Read off one of the funky ones. I'll tell you if I'd eat it or not.
Isfahan.
What is that?
Spinach, mushroom, walnut, Barbary souffle with tzatziki sauce.
Sounds great. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a sandwich
souffle,
to me.
Souffle, tzatziki. It's all on bread.
All right. Madrid is chorizo and chimichurri. That's win. I'll do that.
This is all just good crap thrown into apparently magical bread that they can only make 50 loaves of a day.
As a Korean, I have to roll my eyes at the Seoul, though. They have a bulgogi beef with kimchi, Asian slaw, greens, and garlic mayo sauce.
And they read the fine print. They also pull at the sides of their eyelids when serving it to you. And bow once you purchase it.
That's
a little offensive.
Why does it need kimchi and Asian slaw?
Yeah,
it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just going to let you guys know that. Don't do that.
Well, they're going overboard with it. I mean, it's like, you know, do they make the African and it's got like a rib and a pig's foot on it? I mean,
I'll be real. I'll tell you the best sandwich I've had recently.
Okay.
In Baltimore, best chicken in town is Nick's Rotisserie.
Okay.
It's awesome.
I don't have any jobs in Baltimore. It does me no good.
It's in a place called Pigtown, which is pretty hood.
That is grossly ironic. Pigtown features the best chicken.
It's got, Nick's Rotisserie is awesome. I used to think Peruvian people made the best rotisserie chicken. That's false.
Okay.
The answer is black people. Black people have the best rotisserie chicken. Problem is when you're in the hood.
There's a black guy named Nick.
Well, here's the problem with Nick's. They only make a certain amount of rotisserie because they're not sure how much it's going to sell that day.
That makes sense to me, though. That's meat. Like, I get it. Meat goes bad as hell in the span of hours.
Well, you can freeze it.
Bread, they could just have loaves upon loaves in a freeze truck, like Carbone's corpse.
No, not with fresh. I'm going to call you out. Not with a fresh baguette. It's different. I'm going to defend the hipsters on this. Ugh. It is different when you freeze a baguette. I disagree.
Fine. I can't say I've ever frozen a baguette. Maybe it does come out. Turd hard,
dude,
or something like that.
All right. I will betray myself as being like a snooty hipster. I will go to Whole Foods and touch the baguettes, and if they're too hard, I won't buy them. All right. So I feel you, Sundovich. I do the same thing. Full disclosure.
Well, I mean, there's nothing dumb about that. No one wants to buy a drumstick and try to digest that. Have you ever... I do this with hard bread all the time because I'm pathetic.
Right.
I'll put it in the microwave. And have you noticed if you nuke bread for like 45 seconds, it goes soft for about 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And then it just hardens even tougher? I'll do that. And it's like eating cement mix and then feeling it harden in your intestines.
Gross.
Like 10 minutes later, I'm just holding my stomach like, why? Why? And then I grab my tits and I'm like, oh, that's why, you fat pig. That's why you ate that six-month-old pizza.
But no, I'm telling you. So I was really upset at this day that I went to Nick's. And I was like, you don't have, because they didn't have rotisserie. And they were like, you're going to have to wait till this evening if you want some. I was like, nah, man, I'm on the road. I got to go back to D.C. Like, what else you got? And I was pretty disappointed. And they didn't call it lake trout, but they basically had lake trout.
What's that lake they serve trout? On it doesn't a sound classy.
In Baltimore, there is an African-American dish that is neither trout nor from a lake. But it's basically just whitefish that's cheap, that was available on the market, that is then, like, fried and then sold to the public because it's cheap, so most people can afford it. So I was like, you know, I haven't tried this yet. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I figured they would just have, like, you know, it'd be like fish and chips or something like that.
You can't F up fried whitefish. I mean, it's just so basic.
No, dude. So the dude fried it up and, like, he said, you want it on a sandwich? I was like, I'll try that. And then I can't remember what the special sauce was, but basically he ended up chopping it on the grill as it cooked. As it was,
really?
It was breaded, it was crazy, like, what he did. So, like, it was this delicious perfection that was,
so it was
spread
like
on a piece
fish
of bread.
Cubes.
It was,
Or he chopped something else. You're
it
saying
was kind
of
like, you know, it's kind of like the texture of canned tuna, but it was a fresh fish that he cooked, so it had a nice, like, freshness to it.
Okay.
So it had that texture, but it felt like it was recently caught almost. So
wow.
It had this awesome taste,
but not
then
from
he
the
mixed
lake.
It. Probably not, no. It was probably like swai or, you know, cheap tilapia. Who knows what?
Oh, yeah.
But at any rate, like, he added, like, tartar sauce or whatever it was and mixed it in with a little mustard and then lettuce, tomato, whatever I wanted. And it was the perfect sandwich.
That sounds amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and it was from, like, the last place you would ever think you'd find something like this. So, because it's Nick's Rotisserie Chicken.
Yeah.
Such good chicken. That's the only thing I ever get there. I tried their sandwich
again,
once.
Again, it's Pig Town, but it's fish. You have not once mentioned pork out of Pig Town.
I'll say this, though. Like, just telling that story, I'm hearing myself talk, and I'm like, you know what Sundovich needs? Something besides sandwiches they're going to, like, run out of bread. You know what I mean? You got to have, like, what's your plan B? Just be like, hey, sorry. Would you like...
Yeah, I would have settled for anything, just not a closed door during your business hours. Sell juice boxes and fruit slices. Be like, hey, remember how you used to get this as a kid after your sports event was done? We're gonna play upon that.
They really should have a naked sandwich of some kind and just be like, hey, people, do you want the naked sandwich? Because to me, I look at all these sandwiches. I just, yeah, man, like, give me this and I'll buy some Wonder Bread. You know,
just wrap it all in foil and I'll chop off the end and eat it like a goddamn go-gurt. You know, I don't care.
Just like, well, pretend we're on Atkins. Like, just give me the rest of it, please. Like, that sounds good.
Oh, it drove me nuts. Oh, I'm happy that you agreed with me. Because if you didn't, we wouldn't be recording Papa's Football after this. I'd be like, I cannot work with this asshole.
But no, I do feel, the one thing I gotta go, like, I understand. Baguettes are a very particular thing. Like, I would judge them if they gave me a crappy baguette.
Ugh. All right, well, let's wrap this one up. I think we've managed to put in enough for the day. Howard? Thank you for joining me. By the way, I'm just not going to play good old Surf Rider anymore to not spit in the face of copyright law. So there you go. We're using our intro as our outro. What? And no reaction there?
No, I mean, like, it's so boring if I, like, tell people at home that, yes, you could actually use it for, like, on air with the radio station. But my other uses are...
Oh, well, you know what? I mean, if you insist, okay. All right. You're shaking your head up and down, saying, yeah.
That's not what I meant.
All right, Howard, thanks for joining me. Howard Flood over here. You want to get a hold of him on Twitter one of these days. He's going to have a nice, sexy handle. And on my nice, sexy new website, I'm going to promote the hell out of it. I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. We do two shows together. You're currently listening to Papa's Basement. We also do Papa's Football Podcast. You can find both using the podcast app on any iDevice and whatever podcast app you might have at the handy for your Droid devices as well. Please subscribe. That helps a lot. Please like us, rate us, you know, share us, give us comments, all that crap. You can do the same using Stitcher, by the way, in addition to those podcast apps. Show sites in papasbasement.com, and for the football show, it is pfpod.com. We do writing in addition to the shows, so you can find that there as well. But every show we've ever done, hosted on those sites. So if you want to go deeper than what you would find on the podcast store or Stitcher, you can go to, again, either of those sites in Papa's Basement, in papasbasement.com. I have so much spit in my mouth right now. Or pfpod.com. And last but certainly not least, the comic I do with my buddy, thespookiescomic.com. And it's worth checking out. All right, I guess that's it. Howard?
I'm good, man.
All righty, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show?
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.